Hi everyone, Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the Week in Review and Preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation will primarily focus on the July employment report. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Brian Rose, Senior U.S. Economist with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Brian, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thanks, Siobhan. Good morning, everyone.
Perfect. So let's get started, Brian. Let's begin with the July employment report, which we received just a few moments ago. How did the data come in relative to your expectations, and how would you characterize the current health of the U.S. labor market?
Overall, this was quite a significant surprise to the downside. The headline non-farm payrolls were up by 114,000. And maybe more surprising, the unemployment rate going up 0.2 to 4.3%. And, this is continuing the trend of the rising unemployment rate that began over a year ago now. Also, the average hourly earnings were up only 0.2 month over month, again, surprising to the downside. And one other important point, the hours worked, the average weekly hours worked also ticked lower. And this has really negative implications for household income, right? So weaker job growth, weaker wage growth, less hours worked. You combine all that together, and probably the estimate for household income or wage income will be negative. And this is really critical for keeping the economic recovery going, because the savings rate is already very low. If the income starts to, go down or stops rising, it'll be really hard for consumers to keep spending more. So again, overall, this is quite a weak report, and you see very strong market reaction to the market pricing in more Fed rate cuts in response to this data.
Thank you so much for your insights on that, Brian. So outside of the jobs report, what were some other notable data releases from this past week?
Well, we did have some other labor data out, which was also on the weak side. The JOLTS data showed job openings not changing very much, but the hiring rate and quits rate both fell to new lows for the cycle, and supporting the idea from this morning's data that the labor market continues to soften. Also, we had the employment cost index for the second quarter. This is generally considered to be the best wage data available. It also showed a slowing wage growth and matching the low of the cycle. And then finally, we had the weekly jobless claims, highest in about a year. So again, all the labor data out this week was on the softer side. We also had one other significant report, which was the ISM manufacturing PMI that fell further below the neutral reading of 50, and overall was another weak report, especially the quotes from the survey respondents had a negative tone relative to the prior months. Although I would note that the actual hard data on manufacturing output has been pretty good lately, so It increased in May and June, so I don't think the situation is that bad, but it is worth noting. This is especially equity market tends to pay a lot of attention to the ISM PMI, and it did surprise to the downside.
I want to focus on the Fed for a moment, this in the wake of the July FOMC meeting. What did you take away from the statement, and what are your expectations for rate cuts through year end?
So the main takeaway from the FOMC was that the Fed is almost ready to start cutting rates. So they opened the door to rate cuts at the next meeting in September. And this isn't really that new, but what's changed for the Fed is that up until recently, they were focused only on bringing inflation down. But now that inflation is a lot closer to their 2% target, so headline PCE inflation was only 2.5%, in June, so getting close to the target. And with the labor market cooling off, they're now focused not just on inflation, but really balancing the risk between inflation and the labor market. And, you know, they've made it clear, again, even before this meeting, but again, reemphasizing this at this FOMC meeting, that they will respond to unexpected weakness in the labor market. And again, this is why you see such a strong market reaction to this payroll data, is that they're saying, well, you know, we're focusing more on the labor data, and it came in weak, so you know, it does open the door to more aggressive rate cuts. So our base case up until now has been 2 cuts this year, September and December, but clearly, you know, we'll have to take a detailed look at the data that's come out this week and, you know, see if that still makes sense. You know, I think it is obvious that, you know, when you get these kinds of surprises to the downside, that the Fed is more likely to cut at, you know, at least every meeting going forward. And I think this morning's data opens the door to you know, possibly moving by more than 25 basis points in September.
So we are coming to the end of our conversation, Brian, and I want to turn to next week. What is taking place that investors should be mindful of?
So there is a couple of important data releases next week, including the ISM services PMI. This was very weak in the latest reading. And again, this is a timely indicator of overall economic conditions. So, you know, I think worth keeping an eye on. We'll also get the Fed senior loan officer survey. So it'd be interesting to see if banks have stopped tightening their lending standards. And we'll also get the latest data on consumer credit. And within that, you know, I look a lot at the credit card data. So increasing credit card usage has been an important part of the rise in consumer spending, you know, over the last year or more. So interesting to see how that data is progressing. And of course, we're in the middle of earnings season, and given kind of the noise in the economic data, it's really important to listen to what companies are saying about, you know, what they're seeing, because even the Fed Chair Powell mentioned this at his press conference. You know, in this kind of environment, the anecdotal evidence coming from businesses is, you know, is more important.
Thank you so much for joining us, Brian.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.